Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. But first, you need to guess. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead and guess. Who said that hymn is one of his all-time favorites? Did you say Dr. John MacArthur? You're exactly right. How do I know? Well, I don't have to tell you. I was at the gym listening for anything that might distract me from simply doing the tedious task of picking up a heavy object and then putting it right back where you picked it up from. Look at that, a waste of time, and I ended a sentence with a preposition. And I was looking through my feed, oh, please let something pop up that's interesting. And lo and behold, it happened to be an interview with Dr. John MacArthur from 2 or 3 years ago at the Truth Matters Conference. Some very clever moderator sat down with him for about an hour and asked him questions about the local church and local ministry. Why? Because one wonders, because of the pandemic, because people are not returning to church, which means there's probably just a lot of tares that have flown and blown away. But I wonder how many Christians aren't going back because they have settled into a rather comfortable relationship with church online, which is an oxymoron. John MacArthur, dedicating 50 years to the local church, said something that I thought, well, this is worth playing because, well, actually, it sounds pretty much like what we were talking about. I do believe it was last week on Wretched Radio, and that is the tone and the content of what you and I as Christians say online, especially regarding other Christians.
About the person who basically their entire ministry or their everything that they consume, internet, books, blogs, whatever it is, it's just focusing on false teaching. Is that a healthy diet?
No, of course not. You know, it's... I said this to our people recently because we have lots of people who blog and do all that kind of thing. I said, let's just all be loving, okay? Let's just speak the truth in love. Let's not join every fight. Let's not nail every guy who deviates one whit from something or misinterprets a verse or has some odd view. Don't just go around picking fights with everybody, because what you essentially do, you're like the boy who cried wolf. Nobody's going to listen to you when the real dilemma arrives. Save your outrage for those things that are most necessary to be confronted, and be known for love. That's something that's been in my heart. I've spoken the truth boldly, but I've tried to do that with love, in a kind of a pastoral way. People say, well, you know, why did you speak at this deal when so-and-so was there? And my answer is, that's my brother in Christ, and I happen to love him and care about him. And I will speak the truth. Don't judge me on who else is there. Judge me on what I say, because I'm not going to spend my whole life saying what I believe only to people who believe it. So I just think we need to stop the petty internet hassling, all the pejoratives, all the terrible stuff. I mean, if you want to see what's happened to our culture, just look at our president. I mean, just no restraint at all. Just outrageous, vicious attacks on people at the highest level. And I'm not talking politically. I'm just saying that's where this society is. This society, you know, a political standpoint, with the whole of our people in Washington have been ground to a halt as far as doing anything, because all they can do is spew hate back and forth in all directions. We don't need to be a part of that. We need to be those who speak the truth in love.
Spontaneous applause. And I got to tell you, Jimmy, that interviewer, he's got a future, that kid.
Yeah, he's an up-and-comer. I got some notes for him, though.
I'm sure you do. That was a breath of fresh air, wasn't it? We don't have to do that. We don't have to be that people. We don't have to respond to everything that bothers us. We just don't. We're supposed to be the edifying people, the encouraging people. Yeah, of course there are times when we speak out about stuff. This is about balance. And perhaps these days, evangelical Christianity is tilted more toward skirmishes, fighting, arguing, separating, canceling, gaslighting, than we are about speaking truth in love. Dr. MacArthur, 50 years, the local church, which brings me to this statement in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers from the 1689 Baptist Confession, specifically chapter 26. It has to do with the local church. And I share this in light of the Dr. MacArthur clip you just heard, because as you know, Grace Community Church, they've been in the news because they decided to obey the government when they said, shut her down. It's going to be 2 weeks. We'll flatten the curve and then everybody can get back to normality. Well, as time unfolded, events took place and the mandates became more and more restrictive. Grace Community Church started finding people just showing up in their church. They just started attending Dr. MacArthur preaching to an empty church, and they just started coming and coming and coming. And so Grace Community Church got into a skirmish with the government, won a lawsuit. I think everything just went their way. And so a lot of people may have been asking the question, well, why did they do that when Dr. MacArthur has been so clear about the Christian posture of submission? And I think the answer to it is found in the Baptist Confession of 1689. Remembering what the church is, what goes on here, and why it is supremely important that we protect it and we do not allow Caesar to enter in to the church realm and tell the church, this is how you're going to worship, this is what you're going to do, and then this is how you've got to dress, this is how you've got to stand, you can't sing, which I believe was one of the mandates. You can't sing in church. That's a bit of a problem, because we're supposed to be doing exactly that. When you consider worship has indeed been defined by God, what we're supposed to be doing on Sunday has not been left in the dark with vagaries by God. He regulates worship, and we see it all throughout the entire Bible, what God wants going on there. The public reading of Scripture, preaching, praising, fellowshipping together. These are the things that have to take place. And when we fail to remember the importance of the work that is done at the local church, we might be inclined to surrender what we ought not. And so it is the folks from 1689, that would be a long time ago is what it would be, wrote this. This is from chapter 26, article 7. To each of these churches thus gathered, according to his mind declared in his word, he hath given all that power and authority which is in any way needful for their carrying on that order in worship and discipline, which he hath instituted for them to observe, with commands and rules for the due and right exerting and executing of that power. So issues like church discipline, correction, worship, how we live together as a people, that authority's been given to the church. And that is why, as we study the issues of the day, what is the relationship with government and church, It should overall, hopefully, be rather happy. But recognizing realms of authority, which is something I think we've been talking about here on Wretched for about 15 years, that we do indeed have realms that have bumpers for us. They have guidelines for us to make sure that the place operates the way that God designed. And the folks from 1689, they understood that. Number 8, a particular church gathered and completely organized to the mind of Christ consists of officers and members, and the officers appointed by Christ to be chosen and set apart by the church, so called and gathered, for the peculiar administration of ordinances and execution of power or duty, which he entrusts with them or calls them to be continued to the end of the world, are bishops or elders and deacons. And then, of course, they've got the Bible verses cited. Do we need to apply this carefully and thoughtfully? Yes, yes, we do. Are there going to be some Christian churches that have a difference of opinion on the subject? Yes, yes, there is. But perhaps if we're going to disagree, we can do it in love. This is Wretched Radio. Who needs Rich Little? You might have to Google that. When you've got me, don't know if you realize this, I do impressions, and this is my impersonation of Dr. John MacArthur. I'll just riff, ad lib about the Master's Academy International in hopes that you will consider supporting your own mini seminary in one of 17 nations around the world. Here we go.
Strong pastors in strong churches impact the entire culture from the inside. And that is the vision of TMAI, to go when we are invited by indigenous pastors who want to do it biblically. And that's our mission.
Not bad, eh? Would you please check out the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor and consider adopting a seminary overseas? The fruit, magnificent. As John MacArthur would say, wretched.org/pastor.
You know, just a quick perusal of the Wretched store and wretched.org, and you'll notice resources like Road Trip to Truth, Life is Best, Untethered, Wretched Worldview, and all of our resources have one very distinct thing in common. And no, it's not Todd's ugly mug. Okay, maybe two things in common, but what I'm referring to, or who I'm referring to, is you. Seriously. Because if you're a gospel partner, you are actually responsible for the resources we produce. We're just the mouthpiece, but our gospel partners are the engines that make Wretched run. Without you, there is no us. So if you're already a gospel partner, we humbly thank you. And if you're not an ongoing monthly gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one and help us continue producing biblically sound, Christ-centered content to reach the lost and edify the saints. Visit wretched.org/donate to get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today. That's wretched.org/donate. It truly does take us all.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original four doctors of the church. His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. The Vulgate remained the preeminent translation of the Bible for a millennium. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ah, unity. With different expressions. Part of it, if you are in Christ, this is Wretched Radio. Let's span the globe, see what's going on with our Christian brothers and sisters everywhere. And that includes the United States of America to boot. We're a part of those folks. We're in the body with those folks. We're going to be in heaven with those folks. So even as we speak, our Christian brothers are getting shellacked in different places around the globe. Their suffering should be our suffering. Their pain should be our pain. What they are enduring, we should at least be praying for like a nobody's business. Let's get to church news. Shall we? Okay, fine. This is not directly church news, but it does give me the opportunity to take a shot at Harry Potter, which I never hate doing. The headline from The Federalist reads, "How Witch Talk." That's not like a question, an interrogative. Witch, W-I-T-C-H, talk, T-O-K, lets kids dabble in the occult from their phones. Oh, super groovy. Articles lately talking about the explosive popularity, the kids dabbling in witchcraft, sorcery, and divination. Well, that's the kookiest thing. That people are doing that more and more? What in the culture could have possibly caused that? This is where I would normally insert my Harry Potter critique, but I'm not going to do that. There were a proliferation of witchcraft shows. Do you remember those? I don't know if they're still on cable TV or not, but it was Sprinkle Dust, Stardust. What, Jimmy, you used to like to watch all of those TV shows. Yes, you know sure. Which ones I'm talking about.
I think so, maybe. I don't know.
They were all the Hocus Pocus.
Was that one?
I think so. Yeah. Or Abracadabra. It was a Steve Miller song. It was a cable TV show, whatever. There were just a ton of them.
There's a movie that comes on every year that, around Halloween, that's got
the witches. Wizard of Oz.
No, it's got witches in it. Witches that come back to life. People, it's real popular. I can't think of the name. It's got Bette Midler in it.
Ah,
yeah.
That boy. What was that other movie that she was in that was just something special? And I don't mean that in the most positive sense. Beaches, I think.
Oh, I never saw that.
Viltafish, Larry, and then. You are the wind beneath my wings. That's right up there. What was that other song that came out about the same time that was equally cloying? There was Whitney Houston, not cloying, but she was singing about believing in yourself. And the greatest love of all is inside of me. Yikes. Talk about being anti-Christian. Not only were there TV shows about a lot of witches and sorcerers at the time when Harry Potter was popular. But I recall going to Barnes & Noble. Are they still around? Went to Barnes & Noble, walking through the aisles, and I was struck by the teen section. Wow! Were the kids consuming a lot of witchcraft? Oh, sure, it looked playful and fun. It's not. It's something that God hates. The hashtag WitchTalk has roughly 20 billion views. Now, we're getting into national debt size numbers here, aren't we? 20 billion views. Actually, it's not even close. Making it one of the most popular hashtags on TikTok. It's the dance station. It's the place where you put up a short, wacky video and it can go viral. Witch videos. Thousands of videos on potions, tea leaf, and tarot card readings, pendulum boards, astral projection, magic charms, wands, crystals, automatic writing, channeling, spell casting, and of course, a neogram. I just added that part. By the way, if you are needing a resource on Enneagram, Wren, not like the bird, R-H-E-N-N, cherry, like the fruit. I just wrote a book on the Enneagram. I endorsed it. Owen Strand endorsed it. And somebody else I know endorsed it. It's very helpful in laying out the theological foundations. And believe me, they're all entirely aberrant. The theological foundations of the Enneagram. It is something that the church should be aware of because it sure is popular inside of the church, isn't it? Neo-pagan practice involves shamanistic states of trance induced by dancing, chanting, percussion, meditation, and the manipulation of ritual tools such as power bundles, crystals, wands, feathers, and knives. All can be found at hashtag witch talk. This is getting into the kids' heads. We shouldn't be surprised in our postmodern world, our old country buffet religious systems, where we just cobble it together. And after all, it just seems so harmless. There's also a large presence of users who encourage interaction with pagan deities. Cool. Neo-paganism functions as an umbrella term for all kinds of different folk religions that employ witchcraft, seeking guidance from a transcendent mother goddess, while others pantheistically seek divinity within themselves and nature. That could also be panentheism. Some attempt to channel personal spirit guides, while others look toward Egyptian, Roman, or Norse gods and goddesses. This is a bummer, but this is also a reminder that we were built, designed, programmed for worship. So you got a lot of people these days calling themselves nuns, not of the Sally Field order, but they say, I don't believe in anything. But most of them, when you press on it, I think there's only about 6% in this country who are adamantly atheistic. People like to keep the door open or be a little bit deistic. Yeah, there's a God. He's just not involved in the affairs of humans. Why do we see that? Why do we see, even with the rankest pagan systems there are, why do they exist? Because there's something innate inside of us that says we've got to be about the business of worshiping. We need rest. We need food. We need air. We need water. We need to work. We need to worship. Why? Because that is the way that we are made. And we see that in all of the false systems, which is why, maybe with the exception of France, you see religious people. Because there's something innate about it. Witchcraft has been on the rise in the United States since the late 20th century. Wicca adherents have multiplied more than 40 times. When did Harry come out, Jimmy? When was the first?
Early 2000s, I think.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere around there.
I'm not going to suggest that there's any sort of correlation.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Hey, that book you were talking about.
Yes.
Enneagram Theology.
Thank you for that.
You, Owen Strand.
Yeah.
And John Street.
Oh, how could I forget John? Dr. John Street, who has, by the way, I think one of the most helpful books. I like Heath Lambert's Finally Free and Dr. John Street's Passions of the Heart for dealing with the subject of pornography. It is probably one of the most helpful resources at getting to the heart of the issue of pornography, which incidentally is a worship issue. We talked about this in Road Trip to Truth Season 2, did an episode on pornography. You can get Road Trip to Truth Season 2 at wretched.org. Talked about the worship disorder that is at the root of a pornographic, well, we'll just use the lingua franca, addiction. You're choosing to worship self. You're choosing to worship pleasure. You're choosing to worship those images. You're choosing to worship revenge. You're choosing to worship you in some sense if you're using that to somehow be justified by saying, well, I work really hard. I do a lot of stuff for the Lord, and I deserve that. It's all a worship dysfunction, which is so profoundly helpful. If you're one of those guys, and let's be honest, It is the overwhelming majority of guys. I don't want to freak you out, ladies, but it's got to be over 90% are watching it regularly. I know the highest stat that's out there is 80%. Sadly, I have to believe that there are at least some guys that are just a little too embarrassed to admit it. It's about 90% of men. This is a scourge, which, by the way, one of the reasons why we've seen the sexual liberation movement win so many victories. How can we judge that when we're doing this? Shh. You don't judge me. I won't judge you. I just want to keep worshiping my porn. The good news about that descriptor is that it is interpreting your situation in a biblical lens, which means there's hope, which means you simply need to elevate your affections about God, study Him more, you'll desire to follow Him more, and worship porn less. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, last month, the California Teachers Association held a conference advising teachers on the best practices for subverting parents, conservative communities, and school principals on issues of gender identity and sexual orientation. Speakers went so far as to tout their surveillance of students' Google searches, internet activity, and hallway conversations in order to target sixth graders for personal invitations into LGBTQ clubs while actively concealing these clubs' membership roles from the participants' parents. So California teachers are actively targeting students for recruitment into LGBTQ clubs. If you have not yet considered homeschool as an option for your children, you might want to start doing that as soon as possible. Well, abortion activists in Texas hope that today would have been the day that the U.S. Supreme Court would issue a ruling about the Texas heartbeat law. However, at 10 a.m., the court published only one opinion for the day, an unrelated case about water rights. That means the life-saving Texas law will remain in effect. Twice, the Supreme Court refused to block the enforcement of the unique life-saving law, which went into effect on September the 1st. Then, on November 1st, justices heard arguments from the abortion industry and the Biden administration, urging them for a third time to block the Texas law. However, the court has not issued a ruling, and no one knows when the justices will. Every day the law is in effect, unborn babies are being spared from murder. The legislation, Senate Bill 8, prohibits abortions once an unborn baby's heartbeat is detectable, which is at about 6 weeks of pregnancy. Pro-life leaders are estimating that the law is saving as many as 100 unborn babies from abortion every single day. Well, two of the 17 American and Canadian Christian missionaries taken hostage in Haiti last month have been released, according to the group that arranged for their trip, but no further details were given. The Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministry said in a statement that, quote, "We have learned that two of the hostages in Haiti were released." Of course, that's all of the information that we know at this time. The 16 Americans and one Canadian, including five children, were abducted in October after visiting an orphanage. Officials previously have said that a Haitian gang was demanding $1 million per person as a ransom for releasing the missionaries. A man who identified himself as a leader of the gang posted a YouTube video last month saying that he was willing to kill hostages if he did not get the ransom that he was demanding. As we tell you every day here at Wretched, please make sure that you continue to pray for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A third segment? We were done with this. Well, wrong.
And the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
This is Wretched Radio. Now we actually have to be done because that's the last verse that I've got of one of the greatest hymns ever. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, and he has given authority to the local church to carry out the spiritual affairs of the kingdom that he is a building. Sure hope you're a member of a local church, but maybe not these right here. You maybe don't want to be thinking about, I wonder what they teach in there. Aren't you glad in this regard for the internet? When you go shopping for a new church, you don't have to go to the church. You can just go listen to their sermons online. How many have you gone through when you were looking for a church? This is a Methodist church. Oh, this is right here in Georgia, Jimmy. Down there at Emory University.
Oh, okay.
That's just terrific. Emory University, which has a chapel on the campus, which is always mysterious to me because I don't think of Emory as a Christian university. They hosted the event at the Glenn Memorial Chapel on the campus of Emory. It was a drag show, and I'm not talking about fast cars. That's right, a drag show inside of the Methodist Church. You know, oddly enough, Jimmy, I think that they do concerts in that. I could be wrong, because we used to, before COVID, like to go down to Emory because they've got a great acoustical facility and a magnificent organ in one of their little auditoriums, one of those big pipe organs that are just like so massive and so amazing. And I think we maybe have been inside of the Glenn Memorial Chapel for some sort of Christmas event. Little did we know that was going on there.
But you just said it, so I'm going to take it and chop it up.
In the meantime, in the Catholic Church, the bishop's approved document, we didn't go for the drag show. We went for the Christmas singing.
No, but when I get done with it.
It's going to make it sound like I went to a drag.
That's right.
All right. You see, this is how ministries crumble, right there. Just snipping and editing on the internet. Catholic bishops approved document that doesn't ban pro-choice politicians from communion. Not shocked, quite honestly. But this is a reminder to us of something that might help you apologetically if you're ever witnessing to a Roman Catholic. Or you're dealing with somebody who is being wooed into Roman Catholicism. They like that it's one voice. It's the true church. It's the one that has always had the truth from the apostolic age until today, courtesy of the successors of Peter, which he didn't have in mind, believe me, when Jesus talked to Peter in Matthew chapter 16. But people love it. And they think that everybody believes the same thing as opposed to those 33,000 Protestant denominations. See what a fractured mess that is? I belong to the one true church and we all agree on everything. No, they don't. The American church regularly disagrees with the Pope depending on who it is. Now with this fellow, whose favorite color I think is red, if you know what I'm saying, They don't seem to have much of a problem with him. But I think it was Rathensberger, I think. Was that the prior pope who retired from Germany? They didn't like him. They didn't like him at all. Disagreed with him regularly. Now, you go to more conservative Catholic countries, and they're not nuts about Francis at all. So the next time somebody tells you the Roman Catholic Church is singing every song in harmony, you can remind them, no, that's just not reality. Speaking of movies, Jimmy, it was Anthony Hopkins played Rathensberger, the retiring Pope. And then another great actor played, I think, somebody else, another Pope. And it was just the two of them talking. There were no explosions. There were no heroes involved because you got to have the heroes. And speaking of hero movies, do you know why we have so many of them today? Why the proliferation of stories about somebody who saves the day, I would suggest to you it is a reaction to a post-Christian culture. Don't forget, the world is a mirrored reflection of heaven. What's going on in heaven is reflected down here in earth. God's character and nature, if you will, in heaven, is played out in our character and nature and institutions and how we operate based on God and His character. We reflect what is going on in heaven. So here's the question. What's the greatest hero story ever? It's Jesus Christ, hands down. Not going as a victim, which makes no sense whatsoever. The view that it was nothing but an example of love that we're to follow. No, that would be an example of insanity. He should have run away, but he didn't, because he came to lay down his life to save sinners. That was his intention, and it was accomplished, and it is the greatest story ever told because he is the greatest hero ever, and we are made to look at that hero. And we see hero stories that are mere dim reflections of the true hero story. Every culture has them. The more pagan, the more you're going to see them. Why do we see so many pagan deities back in Roman days and Greek days before Christianity swept the West? Why? Because there was something that just, we got this sense, we need a hero story. We need Zeus. We need somebody to Thor. We got to have a Thor. And we're seeing that today, because people aren't satisfied in the best hero story. They make poor knockoffs. And I think that's what we're seeing with all of these Marvel series. People's insatiable appetite, when they should be consuming the hero story of Jesus Christ, they settle for Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, that would be a dim reflection. Is he still doing those movies?
I don't know. I'm not a big hero movie guy.
What's that? His name, Robert Downey. Yes. Who's the other Downey? She's the one who does those angel stories. What's her name? She's Roman Catholic.
Hey, I don't know. I'm terrible at this.
You are, and you can't even help me with the Ratzenberger movie with the popes.
Yeah, movie history is not my thing.
Well, at any rate, if you just Google it, you'll find just Pope movie.
Sorry.
You should be able to find it, and you can watch it on your cable stations. And it's just a well-acted affair. The Roman Catholic Church approving document that doesn't ban pro-choice politicians from communion. 222 bishops voted in favor. 8 said, nah, I thought this was completely wimpy. Quote, there will be no national policy on withholding communion from politicians. Even though the document was about the fact that Catholics are supposed to be pro-life in every regard, but if your conscience or you're a politician, you don't want to impose your Catholic values on the planet, it's okay, and you can take the Eucharist. The intent is to present a clear understanding of the Church's teachings to bring heightened awareness among the faithful of how the Eucharist can transform our lives and bring us closer to our Creator and the life He wants for us. I think in Roman Catholic language, what they're trying to say is, well, this document was really just supposed to elevate our understanding of the Eucharist, and then everything will just shake out from there. People will do it rightly. No, they won't. Furthermore, it is not a kindness to let people go to the table and partake of the elements when they are living in unrepentant, willful sin. It is not a kindness. Don't forget what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11. You take it unworthily, got to define that. You've got to be a member of the body of Christ. You've got to be living in unrepentant sin, or you need to have an issue with another believer that you are not willing to resolve. Danger, Will Robinson. You've taken communion in that state, and that is why some of you are weak, sick, and even dying. Why? Because God doesn't want his table messed with. Do you remember the story of John Calvin? He was a scrawny guy and a sickly fellow. And if you remember, there were those disturbing the town. They were trying to promote licentiousness inside of Christianity. And John Calvin warned them, knock it off. They burst into his church while communion was taking place to desecrate the table and to wreak havoc. Scrawny John Calvin laid his body over the elements on the table. You're going to have to go through me first. Why? Because he had a very high view of what it is that we are remembering, and that there is a danger in letting somebody partake who is living in willful, ongoing, unrepentant, and in this case, pro-abortion sin. This is Wretched Radio. You are a pro-life Christian, which is redundant, who happens to be frugal, which is unnecessary to point out because that's what we Christians are, frugal, and you would like to support a life ministry that stewards your money well. Some great news from Preborn Ministries. They have saved 169,000 babies' lives. What is their secret? Ultrasounds. 80% of the time a woman sees her baby, she chooses life. Right now, Preborn has a matching grant. $28 per ultrasound turns into two ultrasounds. Or for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds, but because of the match, you'll be saving 10 babies. The ideal time for you to support a life ministry who's going to steward your money well. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or visit preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Question, do you also watch TV? All right, don't mock me. That's a legitimate question because some Christians don't, and that's okay. But I did want you to remember that Wretched is also on TV. 135 Christian networks, to be exact. Wretched TV is hosted, of course, by Todd Friel and is a daily 30-minute program containing live witnessing encounters and conversations about tough theology stuff. You can find us on TV, our website, wretched.org/TV, and also on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV. And it's only possible by the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can help us continue making Wretched available to everyone and also help us in our mission to reach the lost, equip the saints, and strengthen the local church. Find out how you can become a Wretched gospel partner just by visiting wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
And yet one more reason to consider MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, 400,000 Christians strong and growing, sharing one another's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. The average family saves $500 per month. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. There's a teledoc service. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. How's about their approval ratings are double that of traditional health insurance? But how's about this? During the month of November, initiation fee waived. One more reason for you to discover if MediShare is right for you and for your family. Simply visit MediShare.com/wretched and take 2 minutes to call 1-844-34-BIBLE. To see how much your family can save, 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what he requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Two words, not hard. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I simply put into my Google machine, Pope movie on cable. Found it immediately.
I don't even know why I'm here.
Thanks for your help, buddy. The Two Popes is what it's called. I don't know why it's rated PG-13. I don't remember anything nasty or any vulgarities in it. It was Jonathan Pryce, Pope Francis. Anthony Hopkins was Pope Benedict. Yeah, there it is. Pope Benedict the XV1. I don't want to dazzle you with my Latin. Pope Benedict is a retired prelate of the Catholic Church who served as the Pope from 2005 till 2013. His name was Joseph Ratzinger. I was pretty close. I think I added a burger in there, but it's Joseph Ratzinger. It's an interesting movie just for the standpoint of watching good acting. You can use your theological filter to sort through. What was the thing that I saw? I saw a little clip. It was another show. It was a woman playing a Roman Catholic nun, and she was talking about teen girls who ended up getting pregnant.
Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg.
That's now you're in the game. Just when I think you couldn't possibly get it, you go ahead and redeem yourself. I don't know what it was, but this woman was lamenting. Now, that's not the right word. She was crabby and angry at these teen women because she had maintained her purity her entire life, and she was in her 70s now. And she said that these girls, whatever hardships they go through, are for them to atone for their sins. I don't know what the movie was. I don't know who wrote it, but they nailed that. That's Roman Catholic theology. You atone for your sins. No, you don't. Could Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 be any clearer? Could Romans 4 be any clearer? Could James 2 be any clearer? We aren't saved by works. We are saved unto works. The Roman Catholic Church teaches something different. And speaking of the Roman Catholic Church waffling on being pro-life, kind of an interesting poll regarding the life issue. Most Americans support the right to abortion. They want to keep Roe v. Wade in place. This is interesting, isn't it? That two-thirds of the American public, a 2-to-1 ratio, said Roe v. Wade should not be overruled. This was a Marquette University Law School poll that also then had some conflicting information. But we want some limits. And while that is absolutely contradictory, it is an opportunity for us to sharpen our pro-life apologetic. We can point out if there is a rule for, say, 15 weeks, which a lot of people seem to be in favor, they're okay with a 15-week limit, which is the case that's currently being tried. Why not 25 weeks? Why not 35 weeks? What's the difference? And they will come up with some arbitrary marker for why a child should be allowed to live or not. Heartbeat, their ability, their brain waves, their size, all of which are fallacious arguments for life. All you need to do is just trot out your toddler. Would you apply that to a 2-year-old? No, then we shouldn't apply it to a baby in the womb. We can use this rather conflicting, weird information. And this is just another encouragement, as long as we're talking about the life issue. The gang at Preborn, they apply these apologetics. When women come into them to see them about having an abortion, they show them an ultrasound. They explain every reason why that is a baby and there is no excuse for taking the life of your child. And 80% of the time they do. If you're not a supporter of Preborn, $28 per ultrasound. Jimmy, do they have that matching thing going on right now?
Yes, through the end of the year.
All right. Yeah, I think they do that. If somebody must be a somebody who can support them a lot to offer matching funds. So if you have not participated yet in supporting Preborn, or if you have and you want a really good deal, well, now would be the time to do it. Just visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Here now, in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers, is another odd assault on the church and truth. Don't know if this crossed your mind. If you happen to see this article, it was making its way around the internet on popular sites. Its original source was atlasobscura.com. Here's the headline. Why can't we get rid of the 7-day week? What? Can we think of any other way to take a shot at God? Can we think of any other way to undermine what he has established for the planet? I read this and I was like, this is just this. All this is, this entire motivation is just anti-Bible, anti-truth, anti, I'll even say tradition, anti how God set the place up to run. And this article just revealed over and over again that folks will do just about anything to get away from Genesis, where our answer to the question why we can't get rid of the seven-day week is found. Because God created the universe in 7 days. It was a pattern. And when the pattern is completed, you start it again. And you do seven more and seven more, etc., etc., ditto, ditto. God established the seven-day week. Kind of a funny article, if you don't mind me saying so, because it's just, it's such a mad grab to try to get at God's power. This individual writes, a day, for example, is the length of time it takes our planet to complete one rotation with respect to the sun. Right. And God created this whole place, including the sun, in seven of those days. The second category, says the author of the article, is much more fun. Totally random. A day is totally random, basically meaningless. Divisions of time that were created out of a combination of superstition, incorrect science, and the need for greater precision and timing. The seven-day week is in that category. There's no good reason for it. And yet, it's constant to almost every single culture. And the article goes on to try to explain sociologically, historically, when where that happened. But it doesn't even think about asking the question why. It doesn't. How can it not bring up the Bible? How can it not bring up the Genesis 1, the seven-day creation week? Oh, yeah. Because this is intended to say, you don't need to worry about it. You can just go against God's pattern. And their explanation, quite honestly, left me a little bit perplexed. We don't really know where the seven-day week originated. Pick me! Pick me!
Page one.
Ken Ham knows. I'll give you his number. You can call. Go to Answers in Genesis. He'll tell you. But there are some existing theories about why a period of around that length would make sense. And so he talks about the market culture, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, all using a seven-day week. With the seventh day, this is regarding the Babylonians. Now, you're going to think, well, this is regarding the children of Israel. No. According to this historian, the Babylonians used a seven-day week, with the seventh day having certain religious responsibilities, relaxation, cessation of work, worship, that kind of thing. Now, we're Babylon, except when the Jews were there. That was Israel. And I think historically, the more accurate understanding of rest on the seventh day is a uniquely Jewish idea. It made its way throughout culture, but prior to the laws of Moses, it was a seven-day grueling work week. There was no rest. You just worked. That was now, the hoi polloi would be working. The rich folks, the powerful people, probably took time off. But this was a uniquely stunning Jewish. What do you mean, don't work? What do you do? Nothing but think about God, rest. Nope, not according to this fellow. It was the Babylonians. Now we finally get to the Jews. The Jews happened to be captives in Babylonia around that time and adopted the week concept. Oh, I see. The Jewish people, we got it from the Babylonians. Oh, okay. All right. Which is almost as outrageous as this article, headline from, not a shocker, MSN. Christians are terrified of the metaverse. They're convinced the metaverse is going to steal their souls. Mark Zuckerberg made an announcement. It's an immersive virtual reality connected to the internet, and Christians are convinced that any metaverse created by the company formerly known as Facebook is going to be a highway to hell. Literally. Jimmy?
Yes.
You know any Christians that are shaking in their shoes over the meta?
No. Hadn't met one.
No. But a world that is post-Christian will take shots at the Christ and the Christ ones. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.